The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Joel McCrae stars in Tales of the Texas Rangers and an episode of Captain Midnight with the case of the mysterious cry for help. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, an episode of Captain Midnight and the Mysterious Cry for Help. Right now, Joel McCrae stars in Tales of the Texas Rangers as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
It's National Wheaties Week. Yes, it's National Wheaties Week, and Wheaties present Joel McCrae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in the Wheaties Big Parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McCrae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Tonight's case, Fool's Gold.
Shortly after 9 a.m. on the Tuesday after Labor Day, 1946. Two men in a late model black sedan cruise slowly along the main street of the town of Live Oak in West Texas.
All right. Let's go over it once more.
We've been over it 20 times, Foy. Let's get it done.
I ain't taking a chance on you making any mistakes.
I ain't making mistakes. Think I want to go back to Huntsville again? Haven't done anything but case this bank since I got out of the pen a month ago.
You sure there's no guard?
No, I told you. Town like this. Ain't got but two tellers in the cage. Got an alarm system, though.
One of them moves for an alarm, start blasting.
How are we gonna hide out afterwards?
You leave that to me. We'll beat our way back to where I've been working. Roundup will be starting tomorrow. I'll get the old man to take you on until things cool off.
That's good.
Yeah. Ain't nobody gonna suspect a poor working cowpoke. Here we are. You keep me covered while I cash the check.
Yeah. Bet they ain't never cashed a check like that before.
Shut up.
Howdy, gentlemen. What can I do for you?
Cash this.
Sure thing. What? That's over $5,000.
Come on, and don't move funny or I'll blast you.
Robbers! They're robbers, you crazy old...
Let's get out of here.
We'll drop anybody who gets in the way. Come on, Commons, hurry. Get in.
And they're pouring out of that place back there.
They'll have to roll fast to get us.
Look out. Car coming out of that side street.
Let them look out.
You're going to hit.
Look at that poor child. The blood all over him. Look at him.
Oh, I'm bleeding. Gotta get out. Gotta get away.
Hey, driver of the sedan is alive.
Oh, he's still alive. Look at that poor little boy.
Your head's cut bad, mister. You better...
Get away from me. Get away from me.
Look out, he's got a gun.
Partner, it's National Wheaties Week. It's celebrating time, and I'll tell you why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Think what that means. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Now, doesn't that say vitamins and minerals and energy? Energy worth talking about? Sure, first thing in the morning, Wheaties and milk and fruit. Join me tomorrow. See how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Texas Highway Patrol threw a guard around the wrecked cars and notified the Texas Rangers of the attempted bank holdup and the fatal crash. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case.
Howdy, Jace. Glad to see you.
Howdy, Rhodes. Pretty bad. Who got here first?
I did. I was patrolling near Landmark when the call came through.
Which one was the bandit car?
It's a black sedan.
Who was in the coupe?
Man and his kid. They took away. You didn't miss anything by not seeing it, Jase.
Where are the bodies?
The doctor had him taken to the hospital basement.
How about the bank teller?
He's alive, but he's unconscious. Deputy sheriff's with him. One of the stick-up men got killed in the crash, you know.
Yeah. Been able to find the driver?
No, not yet. Cut down that street and into the hills, according to witnesses. Sheriff has the dogs and posse after him.
Who owns the sedan?
Don't know yet, Jace. We're checking on it.
Let's have a look at it.
Okay.
Blood on both sides. Steering wheel, too. Means the driver must have been cut on his head or his hand.
Had a gash in his scalp.
Yeah. Hit the windshield on this side. And a couple of hairs stuck to the jagged edge. A dark brown.
Yeah. The druggist got a good look at him. Saw the whole thing from his store. Came out to help and almost got shot.
Is he around?
Yeah, he's right over there. Mr. Reber.
Yeah?
A ranger wants to talk to you. Let him through, will you, boys?
Yes, sir.
You see the man who was driving the sedan?
Yeah, saw him up close.
Call coming in on our car radios, Jace. Will you excuse me?
Sure, Rhodes. What did he look like?
6 feet, maybe. Built solid. Boots, jeans, and work shirt. Of course, that could fit 1,000 men, but this one had a couple of gold teeth right in the middle of his mouth.
Gold teeth, huh? Anything else?
Nope, except for a bad cut on his head.
Bad enough to need stitching?
Sure was.
Got a flash on the sedan, Jase. It was stolen during the night or early this morning over in Rankin.
I thought so. We better get over to the hospital. I'll call headquarters and have a lab man sent down to go over the car for fingerprints.
Not easy to lift him from that car. Get pretty smeared with all the blood around.
Yeah. And even if you do get him, you still gotta find the man that goes with him.
Here's the body, gentlemen. Lift the sheet if you want.
Anything on him, Doctor?
Nothing at all. Not even a mark that might identify him. Don't want to see the father and the child, do you?
No, that wouldn't help. Rhodes, we can fingerprint this one. Might help us find his pal that way.
Yeah.
You can do me a favor, Doc.
Sure.
The killer who got away cut himself on this glass. Before I send it to Austin, I'd like to get his blood type from it. Can you do it now?
Sure. Come upstairs to the lab in 15 minutes. Have it for you by then.
Thanks.
That blood type will give you something to go on, Jace.
I hope we don't need it. I wish there was some word from the sheriff's posse.
If they had him, I'm afraid we'd have heard by now.
Yeah. I might as well walk over at the sheriff's office while we're waiting for the doc.
We can go through the next room and up the front stairs.
Okay.
That's the kid's mother.
Did you come to see my boy and my husband? Did you know?
No, ma'am. I didn't.
Maybe you ought to go home for a while, ma'am.
Why should I go home? There's nobody there now. He wanted his daddy to be the one to take him to school. He was just being registered. First day.
Take it easy, ma'am.
We were so proud of him. All last night he slept with his little red pencil box in his hand. I just bought it for him Saturday. He never even learned to write his name.
Nothing we can do to help her, Chase.
Not here. No. Could be my wife and kid. Or yours.
Yeah.
Any more on the bank teller?
Deputy reported he's still unconscious. We can look in the room when we get back to the hospital after. Hey, look. It's part of the sheriff's posse.
Hey. You find him?
Who? No. Followed a blood trail cross country, but it made the river and we lost him. No chance of getting him now.
The fingerprint crew from the lab flew in and went to work on the car in the hands of the dead bandit. Highway patrolman Rhodes waited for the report while I went back to see the doctor at the hospital. You got it yet, Doc?
Just finished. Blood types AB.
AB, huh? Don't come across that very often.
No, it's very rare. About one in... Oh, excuse me, Ranger.
Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah, I'll be right in. What? VA's here now. I'll tell him. Goodbye. That was the deputy from the bank teller's room. The teller just died.
Unconscious all the way?
Nope, came to for just a second before he passed on.
Did he say anything?
Nothing you don't already know, Ranger. The man who shot him had gold teeth.
It was night before the fingerprint crew found anything. I unloaded my horse Charcoal from the car trailer and was watering and feeding him at a livery stable when Highway Patrolman Rhodes brought over the reports. Come on, boy. Come on.
Well, Chase, we know who the dead one is.
Let's see. John Cummins served 4 years Huntsville armed robbery. No family, no known associates since leaving penitentiary.
That's no help for finding the other one.
No, could have known him before he went to prison or after. Anything on the car?
Yeah, here.
Lots of prints, but no clear ones, except a full thumb impression on the cap of the gas tank.
Haven't got anything on that print yet, though. Whoever it is, he has no record in Texas.
He will have. The FBI may have something on him. I'm not going to wait around here, though.
I don't like it either. Bud, which way can you go?
Both ways. Car was stolen in Rankin. That's west. I'll head back that way. You take the highway east.
You got a plan?
Something will keep us busy while we're waiting for a report on that thumbprint. Check every doctor along the way and see if any of them have stitched a head wound for a man with gold teeth. For a good part of the night and half the next day, I covered the towns and the back roads between towns, country doctors and emergency hospitals. But none of them had seen the man I was after. Then finally, KTXI in San Angelo came through.
KTXI calling Unit 10. KTXI calling Unit 10.
Unit 10 to KTXI. Go ahead, KTXI.
Have report for Unit 10 on thumbprint found on gas cap of stolen car. Subject known as Robert Tromer. Believed to be in or near Santa Rita. May be working there. Occupation, automobile mechanic.
Unit 10 presently located Regan County, 40 miles from Santa Rita. Will continue investigation. Unit 10, 10-4. It was almost almost sundown when I reached Santa Rita. Robert Trummer wasn't hard to locate. The local constable told me where I could find him. A service station about a mile out on the highway. I drove out there.
Howdy, Ranger.
Howdy. Your name, Trummer?
Yeah.
You can turn off that water and dry off your hands. Where were you yesterday morning at 9 o'clock?
I was right here working. Why?
You sure you weren't in the Drover's Bank at Live Oak?
Of course I wasn't.
Wasn't, huh? Move over here under the light. All right, now smile.
What?
I said smile. Say you weren't at Live Oak yesterday morning, huh?
You heard me.
Those gold teeth say you were.
Look, Ranger, I...
The bank teller's dead, Trummer. So is a 5-year-old kid and his father. And your pal, Commons.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ranger.
Try remembering, Trummer. You got a cut on your head. Take your hat off and let's have a look at that.
Sure, I'll take my hat off. Well, you're looking, Ranger. You see any cut?
No. No, Trummer, I don't see any cut.
So if the guy you're looking for has a cut on his head, Ranger, it ain't me.
Happy National Wheaties Week, everybody. From the Wheaties people, from me, and right now from the man stepping up to our microphone from backstage, the hardworking director of Tales of the Texas Rangers, Mr. Stacy Keach. Well, how's it seem, Stacy?
Gosh, Frank, this doesn't seem like work. Now, imagine getting paid for this. It seems like fun to be able to get up here and talk about Wheaties.
Well, it is fun, you know, and particularly on National Wheaties Week.
It certainly is. And, folks, backstage, we're celebrating just like we hope you are. Nothing dramatic, you know, just Wheaties with milk and fruit first thing in the morning. An all-star cast if I ever saw one. Try Wheaties yourself, so we'll know you're listening. They're great.
Sure are, Stacy. And thanks for talking for us on National Wheaties Week.
I took Trummer with me and drove back to Live Oak. There was no cut on his head, but he fitted everything else. His print matched the one on the gas cap. I stopped at the hospital, and Trummer consented to have his blood type taken.
When the doc gets through testing that, he'll only tell you what I told you before. My blood type is O.
Come in.
You sent for me, Ranger?
Yeah, Mr. Raber. You ever see this man before?
He looks like the fella.
Why, you...
Hold it. Now sit down. Well, Mr. Raber, is he or isn't he?
I've seen him before.
Where? Was he the man who climbed out of that wreck?
Look, mister, maybe you did see me before. I run a gas station 30 miles down the highway. You might have seen me there. But you didn't see me here yesterday.
How about it, Mr. Raber?
Ranger, I'm not sure. After all, the fella that got out of the car had a gun in his hand and blood all over his face. All I remember is them gold teeth.
I ain't the only man in the world with gold teeth.
You may be telling the truth, Ranger. You're after a blood type AB. This man's blood is pretty common. Type O, like he said.
The case against Trummer was falling apart in my hands. I only had one thing left, his fingerprint, tying him with the stolen sedan. I took him over to the local garage. Recognize this car, Trummer? Your thumbprint was right on this tank cap.
So I guessed the car up at the station, maybe. That's how my thumb... Hey, let me see that cap.
Well?
I sold a tank cap like this yesterday morning. Had to pry his old cap off with a chisel. Look. Hey, you can see the marks. Car wasn't hit on this side.
Keep talking.
Well, this guy came in for gas early, 6 a.m. I was just opening up. His tank cap was the kind that locks, and he didn't have the key. Said he lost his key. Even had to jump the switch to get the car started. Here. See the wires are jumped on this one.
I know that. That's how it was stolen. Didn't you think of that when he didn't have the keys?
Oh, Ranger, it happens all the time. People are always losing keys. I've done it myself. Oh, I should have known there was something fishy about that guy.
Why?
Oh, because he didn't have any money to pay for the gas. Didn't tell me till I'd filled it up, either.
Why'd you let him leave?
He took 10 gallons in the gas cap. Bill came to, $2.93. Left me a hunting knife and a sheath for security. Worth maybe $8 or $9.
Did he come back for it?
No, I got it locked in my tool chest back at the station.
Would you know the man if you saw him again?
I think so, but it's just getting daylight. And, well, one customer's face looks like another. But I'd remember him.
He have gold teeth like you?
That's something I can't tell you. He was chewing a cud of tobacco and talking through it.
Come on, I'll drive you back to your station and have a look at that knife.
Jase, saw your car outside.
Hi there, Rhodes.
I checked a lot of doctors on the East Highway. None of them did the kind of stitch job we're looking for.
I may have a lead. Get in your car and tag after me.
Here's the knife, just like he left it.
Fresh honed and clean as a whistle.
No prints on that blade.
Rhodes, take a look at the sheath. Design burned in the leather.
Yeah. They engrave them pretty fancy sometimes.
This isn't an electric engraving job. It's not good enough. Owner burned this in himself. Probably used a hot wire.
That drawing looks like a buffalo head, Jase. But it isn't.
No. Smaller drawings around it look like trees, like some scene he was burning out while
Yeah, Jase, it's something like that you see way off from the highway. State 23, west of Rankin.
That's it, Rhodes. Buffalo Mesa. Let's get up that way and see if we can find a doc who stitched a head cut. It was mid-morning when we reached the area. There were three doctors in a 20-mile radius. The first one had nothing for us, but the second one...
Yes, I stitched a head wound like that day before yesterday. Cowpoke, Joe Foy, fell off his horse. Matter of fact, he was in here this morning, about 3 hours ago, to have the dressing changed.
If you put on a fresh dressing, the one you changed is in that trash container, isn't it, Doc?
Why, yes.
Any blood on it?
Of course. Cut was deep. Hasn't healed yet.
Can you get that dressing out and check it for blood type?
Well, it'll take a few minutes.
I waited a couple of days for this, Doc. I can wait a few more minutes.
Here you are, Ranger. Unusual classification, type AB.
That's it, Chase.
Yeah. You know where this Joe Foy works, Doc?
Why, Ben Kinner's place. Left at the crossroads and 6 miles out. Right near Buffalo Mesa.
Thanks, Doc. Come on, Rhodes.
Right.
Oh, Doc.
Yeah?
Foy has a couple of gold teeth, doesn't he?
Gold teeth? Why, no, Ranger. He doesn't have gold teeth.
I found one man with gold teeth, and he wasn't the right man. Now I had another one to go after, but he didn't have gold teeth. Rhodes and I drove out to the Kinney Ranch. The only one around was an old woman.
I'm only the cook here. Mr. Kinney and the man who works for him are out on the roundup.
Where does Foy bunk?
Just over there in the barn. There's a small room.
You want to show us?
Come with me.
This is bunk?
Yeah.
Hey, Jase, look. Carved in the edge of the bunk.
Yeah, Buffalo Mesa. It looks just like the one on the sheet. Better have a look through this footlocker.
Likely he'd have his gun with him, isn't it, Jase?
Just making sure. Hey.
What is it? Carton of chewing tobacco. Hey, that fits. Fellow at the service station said our man was chewing when he stopped there.
Yeah, and I've seen this brand of chew before. If my memory isn't lying, there's something else that fits.
You shouldn't tear open Mr. Foy's thing.
I just want to see one of these plugs. Here's the answer, Rhodes.
Yeah, the plugs are wrapped in gold foil.
Yeah. And if I tear off a square of the foil and put it over my front teeth like this, I look like I have gold teeth.
And every witness who saw Foy was throwing us off the trail instead of helping. I wonder how he thought of it.
Probably got the idea on his way to Live Oak when he saw Trummer at the gas station. I'm going to take charcoal out of the trailer and ride out to the range.
And I'll get a horse from the corral and...
Oh, thanks, Rhodes. But you better stick here. If Foy spots me coming, he might make a run for the ranch and grab a car or a pickup truck. You stay here and see that he doesn't get to him.
Jase.
You Joe Foy?
No, I'm Kinney, Ranger. Foy in some kind of trouble?
I'd call murder plenty of trouble.
Murder?
Yeah. Where is he?
Down the Royers, rounded up strays. Glad to show you.
All right, let's go. Where Foy was Monday?
Took the day off to fix his gear up and get ready for the roundup.
You see him during the day?
Nope. Went over to his bunk that night, though, to see why he didn't show for supper. Had a cut on his head. Said he fell. Doc had him patched up.
I know about that.
Hey, there he comes now, around the mesa.
He spotted us. He's turning back for cover.
Get up, Charcoal! Get up!
Yeah, turn behind here.
Whoa, boy.
Ranger, you're hit.
Yeah. I got to get him.
You hit him, but he's up. He's running for the river.
I got to get him. Come here, Charcoal. Come here, boy.
Left shoulder looks mighty bad, Ranger. You can't chase him like that.
I hit him. Come here, boy. If he can move with a bullet in him, so can I. Get up, Charcoal. Watch the banks for tracks in case he came out.
The river winds and bends. Can't see far ahead with the willows hanging over it.
I'll see him when I get to him.
I'm going to bring you in, boy.
Next slug will kill you, Ranger.
You better kill me, boy, or you'll never leave another dead kid in the street.
He ain't far ahead, Ranger.
Not as far as he'd like to be.
Hear him moving.
Yeah.
Stop. Listen. He ain't waiting anymore.
He stepped out of the streamer. Or he's waiting in ambush. You better stay behind me, Kenny.
Looks like he's going to need the electric chair, Ranger.
No. Not anymore.
Hey, let me help you. You got to get to a doctor.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I sort of forgot I was hit. Thinking about what he did to a few other people.
The body of Joseph Foy was definitely identified as that of the killer and hit-and-run driver. A ballistic check showed that his gun was the weapon used in the murder of the bank clerk. Ranger Jace Pearson was taken to the nearest hospital where, after a blood transfusion, he was pronounced out of danger.
Are you with us out there? Are you celebrating? Well, it's National Wheaties Week, you know. And here's our star, Mr. Joel McRae, following up another great performance tonight with a few words meant for you personally. Joel?
I'm enjoying being a Texas Ranger, and I hope you're enjoying it, too. As a matter of fact, I sincerely hope you've enjoyed it enough to go out and buy a box of Wheaties on Monday. If you do, that's the way we'll know. Your purchase of one box of Wheaties. Will you do that? I think you'll like them. Good night.
Thank you, Joel McRae. And how was that for a sporting proposition, folks? If you like our show, there's a way to let us know. Just see your grocer about those Wheaties tomorrow. Remember, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. And goodness knows how many flakes there are in a box. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat. in every Wheaties flake. And you know the value of whole wheat. Necessary vitamins, minerals too, and whole wheat energy worth talking about. Go ahead. Have Wheaties to start breakfast tomorrow. Wheaties with milk and the fruit you like. Breakfast of champions? Well, I should say so. Try them and see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Come on, it's National Wheaties Week.
Come on, everybody, to the Wheaties party. Eat a lot of Wheaties like the champions do. Dance together cheek to cheek. This is National Wheaties Week. Eat a lot of Wheaties like the champions do. Wheaties are breakfast of champions.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae will soon be seen in the Universal International Technicolor production, Saddle Tramp. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Hi Averback, Paul Frees, Herb Butterfield, Dave Ellis, and Lillian Byatt. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcock, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. Hal Gibney speaking.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen on Wednesday night to Brian Donlevy in Dangerous Assignment on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Listen for Dennis Day and Judy Canova returning October 7th on NBC.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with an episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers starring Joel McRae. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Captain Midnight investigates a mysterious cry for help on the Golden Age of Radio.
Scully Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you three times each week by the Scully Oil Company, Scully Jobbers and Dealers. Always watch for that red, white, and blue sign with the big letter S that stands for Scully Service. But first, listen. Did you ever see an airplane pilot start the engine of his plane? Well, listen, I'll show you how it goes. First, of course, he winds up his inertia starter. Then he turns on the switch, releases the starter, and... There. That's the way an airplane motor starts, fast as a flash. But now listen. Does your family car start like that? Does the motor in your family car snap right into action the minute Dad steps on the button, just like an airplane motor does? Or does your car sound more like this when Dad goes to start it up in the morning? Well, sir, I don't know whether your car sounds like that or not, but if it does, Here's something for you to tell your dad. Something to help make your car start like an airplane. Your dad doesn't want your car to be slow starting. He wants it to be the fastest starting car in your block, just like you do. So listen, the chances are 100 to 1 all your car needs is a faster starting gasoline. So, if you want to do Dad a big favor, ask him to try a tank full of Skelly tailor-made Aeromax gasoline. And here's why. Skelly Aeromax gasoline is tailor-made for quick starting in your weather. It's weather right for your car. Say, won't you and Dad both be proud of your family car when it starts like an airplane? You just watch and see if Dad doesn't turn to you with a great big smile when he sees how fast your car starts with that tailor-made Skelly Aeromax gasoline. So remember, if you want your car to start like an airplane, fast as a flash, tell Dad to stop at your Skelly service station for some good old Skelly Aeromax, the gasoline that's tailor-made for quick starting in your kind of weather. And now to Captain McKnight. Last time you remember, during the parade of Fiesta, Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan went outside the courtyard and into the plane formerly flown by Ivan Sharp's chief pilot, Dardo. Chuck tuned the plane's radio to the wavelength used by Captain Midnight Spartan, and he and Patsy distinctly heard a feeble voice calling for help. It is now early the following morning. Captain Midnight and Chuck are in the cockpit of the plane, and the famous pilot is trying to tune out the static on the radio. Listen as Chuck exclaims,
"That's strange, Captain Midnight. We can't hear anything now except that static."
"Oh, I can't understand it, Chuck. Either this set isn't working right, or those signals you heard aren't being transmitted anymore."
"It sure seems funny. The words came through distinctly last night."
"You mean very clear?"
"Well, no, not terribly clear. But still clear enough for Patsy and me to get the meaning."
"Hmm. And then you said a voice faded out, huh?"
"Yes, it did. And I tried everything I could think of to get it back again. But I couldn't do any good."
"Well, now, wait a minute. Did you change the tuning any?"
"Yes, I moved the knob back and forth, but just a little bit. And I also tried the volume control."
"Hmm. The first time you undoubtedly had the set tuned perfectly. But some weather condition caused it to fade. Then, when you changed the setting, you couldn't get it back again."
"Gosh, Captain Midnight, I guess you must be right. If I'd only waited and hadn't touched the dials, the voice would probably have come in again."
"That's about the size of it. You know yourself how delicate a tuning you have to make on short wave stations."
"Boy, I'll say. I remember back at Black Gulch. Well, you saw the radio set Steve had. Oh, it was a peach, too."
"Yes, I remember. I got stations from all over Europe on there."
"Well, what I was going to say was this.
Yeah?
Lots of times I used to get stations, and the tuning was so sensitive that if I moved the tuning dial about 1/100 of an inch, I'd lose the station altogether."
"Yes, and that's the situation we're up against right now. Well, I don't think there's any use fooling with this the way it is."
"Gosh, are you going to switch it off?"
"Yes, right now."
"Gee, well, what are we going
to
do?"
"Now, let's think back a little. You were tuned in to the wavelength we always use in the Spartan. Now, there are only a few people in the world who use that wavelength. And I don't think any of them are within 3,000 miles of us."
"Except Major Steele and Connolly."
"Right. And another thing. Major Steele and Connolly are the only ones using that wavelength who are probably in trouble."
"Then it must have been Major Steele or Connolly."
No, not definitely now. There may be others using that same wavelength. But reviewing all the facts, I think the chances are 100 to 1 that it was Major Steele."
"Oh, gosh. They must need help badly. Well, hadn't we better take off and see if we can find them right away?"
"No, wait a second, Chuck. We don't know where Major Steele headed. All he said was that he was going to try to get to some airport across the border."
"Gosh, you're right. We're not sure which direction he went."
"And another thing. We've started to check this plane over, but we haven't finished. And you know the kind of country we're going to have to fly over."
"I'll say. It's bad. Rugged mountain ranges and desert."
"So you see, it'd be foolish to take off over a stretch of bad country without having any idea what course to follow and not being sure of the condition of our plane."
"Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been so hasty. But what can we do?"
"I'll tell you that right now. Now, you know how radio reception is. Usually when the sun's out and it's nice and warm, there's a lot of static and signals don't come in very well. But at night, when it's clear and cool, they come in fine."
"And it was about 11 o'clock last night when Patsy and I heard that voice."
"Exactly. So we're going to wait until tonight and try again. And in the meantime, we'll have an opportunity to get a couple of jobs done. We'll check this plane thoroughly and be sure it'll stand up under a long cross-country flight. And the next thing, we'll find out the direction those signals are coming from."
"Gee, how are you going to do that?"
"Doesn't Senor Pareda have a workshop around here?"
"You bet he has. And it's well equipped, too."
"Well, where is it?"
"It's on the eastern side of the garden wall. Don't you remember that little building north of the courtyard?"
"Oh, yes. Now I remember. Okay, now I'll go over there and see if we can make what I have in mind."
"Gee, what is it?"
"I'll see if you can guess. But just as a clue, I'll say what I said before. Now, if possible, I'm going to make something that will tell us the direction from which those signals are coming.
Good morning, me Capitan. Hi, sir.
Oh, here's Pebbles. Good morning, Pebbles.
Hi there, Pebbles. You old stick in the mud?
Oh, I am not the stick in the mud. I am Don Pablo Ronaldo Garcia Carrasco Punta Piranha Pebbles.
All right. Well, I'm going over to the shop. Why don't you stay here for a few minutes, Chuck, and talk to Pebbles? Then, if I don't come back very soon, you come on over. I'll need you to help me.
Okay, Captain Midnight.
Oh, and another thing. Don't give Pebbles any flying lessons until we finish checking that plane.
Right you are, Captain.
Oh, mi amigo, that's the big disappointment to me. It's such a good morning. I think perhaps you'd take me up and give me the flying lesson.
Gosh, Pebbles, I'd sure like to. But you heard what Captain Midnight said.
Oh, but the plane, it fly before. It must fly now.
Well, it'd probably fly all right. But Captain Midnight's figuring on a long cross-country trip. And we've got to know it's in good condition before we take off.
Then you go with El Capitan?
Well, I guess so, Pebbles. At least I hope so.
Oh, that's the excellent thing, mi amigo. For if you go, then Pablo go too. You see, the plane, it holds four passengers.
Gosh, Pebbles. You'll have to ask Captain Midnight about that.
Oh, but you see, I am already the flying man. I will be the big help to you and El Capitan Midnight.
But you don't even know how to fly yet, Pebbles.
Oh, poof, what's that? I've already decided to take the aviation course. So that makes me the flying man. You will ask El Capitan Midnight to let me come along, Chuck?
Well, I think you'd better ask Captain Midnight yourself.
You go on the trip to find this Major Steele and Connolly, North Verdun?
That's right. We're going to see if we can't find them.
Oh, Patsy tells me about them. She thinks they've had the crash.
Yes, and that's what Captain Midnight thinks. You see, their landing gear was damaged, so they couldn't let it down. But they were already in the air. So Major Steele said he was going to fly to some airport across the border, repair the plane, and bring help back to us.
But mi amigo, how does Major Steele make the landing when the gear cannot be lowered?
Well, a good pilot can do that, Pebbles. You see, the tires of the wheel stick down below the body a little bit, even when the gear is in the retracted position. You just have to be careful to keep the plane absolutely level. Well, otherwise, one wing will dig into the ground.
Oh, I see, mi amigo. Well, it's not so difficult after I have the flying course. Then I will be able to do that, too.
Of course you will, Pebbles. I think you're going to take to flying like a duck to water.
Oh, you bet the sweet neck, Chuck. I will be much better in the air than the duck is in water.
Oh, that a boy, Pebbles. Captain Midnight says there's one thing that's most important in flying. You've got to have a lot of confidence. You got to believe in yourself.
Oh, say, I am so excited, mi amigo. I can hardly wait to get to the Spartan Flying School.
Oh, then it's decided you're going there.
Oh, see, my uncle Don Juan, he says he wishes me to go to the best flying school in the world. And he says the school El Capitan Midnight says must be the best one.
Oh, gee, Pebbles, I'm sure glad. You'll have a swell time there. And before you know it, you'll have your license. Oh, what kind of a course are you going to take?
Well, that I do not know, mi amigo. Well, is it not one course to learn to fly?
Oh, gosh, no. They have many courses. You can take a short one, which will give you a private pilot's license. Then you can take the longest and best one, which will give you your transport license.
Oh, but there is only the one course I wish to take.
And which one's that, Pebbles?
I wish to take the course which will make me the Lindbergh.
Oh, but gosh, Pebbles, they don't have any course like that. Whether or not you become another Lindbergh depends on you.
Oh, then, mi amigo, it's very simple. If it's up to me, then I have already decided. I will be the Lindbergh of Mexico.
Oh, that's the stuff, Pebbles. If you work hard enough, maybe you will be another Charles Lindbergh. Well, I guess I'd better go over to the shop now. Captain Midnight said if he didn't come back very soon that I was to go over and meet him.
Well, let us shake the dogs then. I will go with you.
Hours have passed. It is now almost 11 o'clock at night. Captain Midnight, Chuck Ramsey, and Pablo are gathered together about an apparatus which Captain Midnight has made and which has been placed on a table outside the workshop. Let's listen as Chuck says...
Gosh, Captain Midnight, I should have guessed it right away. Why, it's the same kind of an outfit you use to triangulate a position for a lost ship.
Oh, but mi amigo, I do not understand.
Well, I'll explain it to you, Pebbles. This apparatus is nothing more than a movable antenna on a circular base. Now, on the bottom of the base here, I mark the points of the compass. I've taken a shortwave radio set, which your uncle had here, and I've constructed this base and antenna to go with it.
But, mi Capitan, I do not see how it works.
Well, you'll see in a minute, Pebbles. Now, we all set there, Chuck?
I think we are, Captain Midnight. The set is connected to the battery, and the battery has just been charged, so we have plenty of juice.
Mm-hmm. All right, now. I'm going to switch it on. See what we can get.
Oh, gosh, I can't hear a thing but static. Are you sure it's tuned to the Spartan's wavelength?
Well, I'm as sure as I can be, Chuck, with this dial. Of course, it might be a little bit off.
Well, how about increasing the volume a little, then shifting back and forth close to the Spartan's wavelength?
Okay. Now, wait. Turn up the volume a little bit there.
Right.
Easy. Oops, that's enough.
Okay.
But, me Captain, why do we not hear the signal?
We'll get some, Pebbles. That is, if there are any.
Of course, something may have happened to Major Steele and Conley. And also, maybe the battery in the plane has gone dead.
Yes, I know it, Chuck. Lots of things may have happened. But we're going to keep trying just the same. There now. I believe I have it tuned as well as I possibly can get it. Next thing is to orient the antenna now.
But gosh, if we don't get any signals, that won't be of much help, will it?
No, Chuck, not very much. Static can come from any direction. But we do know this much, that Major Steele and Connolly are somewhere north of us. They might be a little bit northeast or a little bit northwest, but the general direction is north.
Well, maybe we do not get the signals at all. Maybe.
Listen, the static has decreased.
Mm-hmm.
We must be getting close to a station.
Listen, Chuck, you work the tuning now while I handle this antenna. Maybe we can get something that way.
What? Listen, what's that?
Quiet, Pebbles, quiet.
Can you hear me?
We've got something. You hear that voice? Can't we bring it in sharper?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can't...
What voice is this which Captain Midnight and Chuck have succeeded in bringing in on the shortwave radio set? Is it actually the voice of Major Steele? What will Captain Midnight do? Tune in Monday to Captain Midnight. Now, don't forget that tip I gave you just a few minutes ago. You want your family car to start like an airplane, I know. You want your car to be the fastest starting car in your block. Then remember, won't you, tell your dad to try some fast starting Skelly Aeromax, the gasoline that's tailor-made for quick starting in your kind of weather. Stop by your Skelly service station tonight. Tell your Skelly man you want your car to start like an airplane. Tell him to fill that tank with tailor-made Skelly Aeromax, the gasoline that gives you quick starts because it's weather right for your car. Now don't forget to tune in again Monday, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Someone is in dire distress, but how can Captain Midnight and Chuck go to his assistance when they can get no clue whatever as to the location of the voice? If they do succeed, will it be too late? Be sure to listen Monday. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly man, saying goodbye and
happy landing!
Soon you'll be able to walk into your Admiral dealer's store and confidently buy the style radio or radio phonograph you want. The selection of Admiral radios will be complete. There'll be radio phonographs with the famous Admiral exclusive features, slide away that makes loading and unloading your record changer so easy, and the foolproof Admiral automatic record changer. There'll be consoles and table models and newly designed cabinets of fine woods and modern plastics. There'll be farm sets and portables in many styles and sizes, including the popular Admiral Bantam, the camera-type radio that operates on alternating current, direct current, or self-contained batteries. There'll be new electronic refinements and AM, FM, and shortwave reception. And now about television. Admiral's extensive research assures television receivers with true Admiral quality. So, whatever you want in radio, you'll find it in an Admiral, America's smart set. You can get a very good idea of what Admiral will offer if you'll write for a free copy of the new full-colored booklet entitled It's a Promise from Admiral. Just write your name and address on a penny postcard and mail it to Admiral in care of this radio station. That's all. Just your name and address mailed to Admiral at this station.
Now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest rail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a hay whale. Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho!
Heedy, heedy,
heedy, heedy, heedy.
Now she messed around with a bloke named Smokey. She loved him though he was cokey. He took her down to Chinatown. He showed her how to kick the gong around.
Showed her how to kick the gong around.
Howdy ho!
Howdy ho!
Howdy ha!
Howdy ha!
King of Sweden. He gave her things that she was needing. He gave her a home built of gold and steel, a diamond car with a platinum wheel. Whaddy woody way,
whaddy woody way.
Oh baby,
oh baby,
wanna be with you,
wanna be with you.
Howdy ho,
howdy ho.
He gave her his townhouse and his racing horses. Each meal she ate was a dozen courses. She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes, and she sat around and counted them all a million times. Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
Oh, Minnie.
Oh, Minnie.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. Music from 1931, Cab Calloway and Minnie the Moocher. Also a vintage episode of Captain Midnight and a mysterious cry for help. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.